Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Murray State Basketball Podcast, the Ride Home Edition after Murray State wraps up the regular season, I would say in style, but maybe they wrap up the regular season in probably the most perfect way possible, which we will get to in a moment. 77-76 in overtime. They beat Valparaiso. Senior day at the CFSB Center, and now the Racers get ready to head to Arch Madness for the first time as a 7 seed, as they will take on Valparaiso Thursday night at 6 p.m. We will get into that coming up in a little bit as well. Yesterday, I don't know that there's any better... I mean, if there was any better representation of the 2022-2023 season than yesterday's game for Murray State. I mean, this was an absolute greatest hits album. Not all the hits are good ones. Oh, no, no, no. But if you sat down and explained to someone, what has this season been like? You'd be like, well, where do we begin? Hey, maybe something good happens at the beginning. Great. Rod Thomas hits a three. Everybody's excited. But wait. Let's not get too excited, because we're immediately going to give up a 9-0 run and have to play from behind. And then we're going to battle back into it a little bit. Then we're going to immediately give up another run, and we're going to be down a dozen at home in the first half. But wait, there's more, because we're going to come roaring all the way back and take the lead at halftime. You feel like, okay, all the rough stuff's out of the way. Smooth sailing the rest of the way. Let's go win. But wait, there's more. Can never really, really put the game away. It's always kind of at arm's length. And one thing leads to another. And, hey, let's go to overtime one more time. Against a team for the second time this season. Sure, why not? And then, hey, we're going to get off to a great start at overtime. And you think, oh, finally got this thing under control. Up five. You're up five with a minute to go. Let's ice it and go home. Oh, but wait, there's more. Now we're going to start turning the ball over. We're going to let them tie it. Oh, but just when hope seems to be lost, the Racers are able to pull it out of the fire and get the win. It was just... there was just points in this game yesterday. I just laughed because it was just like there was no part of it that we haven't seen at some point this year. It was just it was everything all in one day. And that was the part that was, you know, I mean, even at the end of regulation, you get the huge three from Jacoby Wood when all seems lost. Oh, I forgot in the greatest hits. We're going to go 8 minutes and 31 seconds without a made field goal in the second half. Sure, why not? And then you get a three in the final 6 seconds to force overtime. But in those final 6 seconds, after Jacoby hits the three to tie it, we're going to call timeout, and Valpo's going to bring it up for their final shot. And it was in that moment I just had immediate UMass flashbacks to Terminal Beach. And he's just like, And it was because, like, at no point until the ball was inbounded did that flash back into my head. And then there's just that moment of terror that runs over you, like, do not tell me that this is the way this thing's going to end. And Murray defended it infinitely better. And forced Valpo into a bad shot, got to overtime, and then things went. It was something. And once again, I believe that's the 11th time this year Murray's played a game decided by 5 points or less. 5 points or fewer, excuse me. It is... You may not have been happy with the results all the time, but you, for the most part this year, cannot say you did not get your money's worth on your cost of ticket to get into these games. They have been it has been something this year, to say the least. But the Racers win 16-14. Have now, and again, it's small things. You're picked eighth in the preseason poll. You're going to finish seventh. You're going to finish 16-14, 11-9 in the conference. This is the baseline. And just knowing what this program has been, you feel like, and I'm sure this will be thrown back at me at some point, but you would sure like to believe it can't be worse than this. And there's a whole lot of teams that would cut your throat for 16-14 and 11-9 in the Missouri Valley Conference. But that is for later. That is for down the road. Right now, the road is to Arch Madness. Yesterday, it was Senior Day. Yesterday was a day to celebrate Rod Thomas and DJ Burns. DJ Burns, a guy that came in from Southern, and, you know, last year, in a lot of ways, was, you know, started every game last season on a team that went 31-3 and was ranked in the top 25 and was just one of those impossibly important glue guys. You know, I think in so many ways he was, you know, he was of the five starters, if you were ranking them on level of importance, just at a glance, you'd be like, well, he's fifth. But he wasn't going to score a ton, but he just did everything else. And the amount of intangibles certainly were so impactful for that Racer team a year ago. And then for him to come back this year when everyone left, and I swear to the good man above, if I see one more person talk about how Matt took everyone with him when he left, I'm just going to throw myself in traffic as a mercy killing for all of us. Please stop falling into that narrative. Please, 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 please. Whole lot of dudes went to a whole lot of places that had absolutely nothing to do with LSU. Nothing. Please. But DJ came back and was an important piece to the bridge to this season. To be able to bridge, even though Steve was coming back and Steve understood what was great about this place. But outside of Rod Thomas, there wasn't anyone else. And so, you know, Steve can, he can talk and talk and talk about this is how great this place is. But when you got 12 guys that just show up for the first time, you need some other reaffirmation. And that's where DJ was important, to sort of bridge the past to now the present in an impossibly different a unique situation and a difficult situation. Not only new coach, entirely new team, but new conference, all of it. And he was vitally important to that transition. Yesterday, he was great yesterday. And it was a game that, you know, he's going to be able to look at, he's the one thing as a player, as senior night, you always want to be able to kind of look back at it with fondness. And for DJ to go for 21 and have 8 rebounds and have 4 assists and a steal, you know, in 33 minutes, awesome. Awesome. Now, again, he's got a year of eligibility left if he wants to use it. And I think there's been some question about would he use it.
I just feel like his words late last night on Twitter tells me that he's probably played his last game in the CFSB Center. He tweeted out, "I am so proud to be a Racer. The emotions are still running through my body. There will never be a place like home to me, like Murray State, no matter what. Thank you to the fans, the sports staff, everyone involved in making this one of the best days in my life." Now, could he be back next year? 100%. But it also kind of feels like that goodbye love letter right there. So we will see how that shakes out. But I think certainly if you're leaning one way or the direction, you're certainly leaning on him not returning next year. Rod freaking Thomas. I was wondering if he was going to get the start yesterday. I had a feeling he would. I had a feeling he would. And I'm glad he did. I did not anticipate them running an offensive set out of the opening tip for him to get a shot. My gracious. I mean, that was just, for 15 seconds yesterday, it was a movie. It was just perfect. Comes in. I mean, I thought the shirts were an awesome touch. You know, the In Rod We Trust shirts. He was, the whole thing was just perfect. And for him, I mean, it was like, as I said, as soon as he hit the shot, I was like, dude, you need to foul someone or just get out of the game. You don't want to take another shot. You are 1-for-1. 3 points. I'm done. I'm not messing with that on the way out because it could not be any more perfect. I could go on for a month about it. There are seasons, there are games, there are shots, there are moments. And that was a moment. That will be something that for people that were in that building, for the fan favorite, they will remember that. They will remember how that felt. And I'm most excited for him. Because that ball going in and him doing some sort of levitating karate kick running down the floor because it was him attempting to have an out-of-body experience, I think, at that moment, that it's like that feeling will be something he will remember, that moment will be something he remembers for the rest of his life. And I think there are people that sort of just the uneducated on the process that may sort of, I don't know, look down is probably too strong of a phrase, but I'll use it anyways. Just, you know, like, oh, he's just a walk-on. Well, the walk-ons literally do everything. The non-scholarship players do everything that the scholarship players do. Everything. Every amount of work. But their reward is practice, generally. Practices are their games. So then they actually get into a game. You know, maybe, hey, they might get, you know, we saw it a couple games ago. Hey, he gets a free throw at the end of the game or something. I mean, that is a huge thing for these guys. But after 4 years of all the proverbial blood, sweat, and tears, to get to start your last home game and then to have them run a play for you on the first possession and then for you to just flat out stones the grapefruits of the whole thing and just knocked that thing down. It was beautiful. It was beautiful. So, could not be happier for Rod and for DJ yesterday that everything turned out on the positive side. All right, some quick news and notes here as we try not to make this thing an hour today. Again, it's just as we talked about earlier in the week, you know, defense has been the issue with this team on second viewing against opponents. And, you know, after that a little emotional burst there with Rod hitting the three, again, immediately, bang, give up a 9-0 run. And then, you know, with 10 and a half minutes left in the first half, Racers had already given up 25 points. I'm like, they're on pace to give up 100 tonight. But they gave up 25 points in the first 10 minutes and then gave up 51 points in the next 35 minutes. I mean, the layup line finally stopped. And that's the only reason that they ultimately had a shot to be able to win this game, as they started playing some defense. But my gracious, it was touch and go there for a little bit there in the first half. As we've seen time and time again this year, they have been a resilient team, with few exceptions. They have taken shots from teams and they have bounced back. They've gotten back up and they've made runs. And we saw it again. I mean, you're down 12 at home in the first half. And you're like, what is going on today? And then they're ahead at halftime. That second half just felt like this stretch of they just could not. It just lingered in that 4-6 range, where if it ever could have gotten to 8 or 10, it would have felt like it was over. And yet they just could never get it to that point. And not only could they not get it to that point, then, you know, in the final 10 minutes, as I said, you go 8.5 minutes without a made field goal. But this is where the defense came in and saved their bacon. Because Jamari Smith with a dunk with 9:56 to go made it 53-48. And when Brian Moore hit a jumper with 1.5 minutes left, before he made that jumper, they were only down 5. So, I mean, they went up +5 to down 5. I mean, to go 8.5 minutes and only, you know, be negative 10 in that stretch is – negative 10 is not great, but an 8.5 minute stretch without field – I mean, they could have been down double figures, and that thing could have been over at that point. They were able to make enough free throws also to kind of just hang around a little bit. But Moore hits that jumper. And then obviously the massive three from Jacoby Wood. And there have been some big shots at big times this year. You know, we saw it, you know, early in the season. It was Rob Perry. You know, with the big shots against Valpo, the big shots against, you know, Illinois State there in the early going. They had the big comeback win against Chicago State, which included a big three-pointer from Jacoby Wood. I think it was Austin Peay. Quincy Anderson hit a big back-breaking three. But this was I feel like I've said 50 times this year that it's easy to overstate moments, and this is the best and this is the worst and whatever. And it's just like, man, you know, the difference between 16 and 14, 11 and 9, and 15 and 15, and 10 and 10 just feels like the Grand Canyon. And with everything riding on that shot, and Jacoby, I think the part about him in that moment that was so huge to me was down three, you know, final 10 seconds, and he gets the pass. That's after, if memory serves, there was an offensive rebound. Jamari Smith with the great heads-up play to sort of tip it out. And Brian Moore chased it down and gets it to Jacoby. And Jacoby just would have been 100% in his rights to just be in a rush and kind of force one up. And he was just as calm could be. Shot fake, let the defender go flying by, got that one dribble and his feet set, and it was like shooting a free throw. It was just perfect. And then again, Racers have the nice defensive stand there to get it, you know, into overtime. Start off great in overtime. You think everything's going to be okay. And then, of course, things had to get hairy down the stretch because that's the way it happens. But I thought Brian Moore was just – there was no better spot for him in that moment where it was head down. And what he has done so well all season long here in the last 2 months of just playing downhill and just going to attack the basket. And, you know, with 4 seconds left, whatever it was, you know, I mean, that's a situation that Valpo doesn't want to foul. So, you mean, you want to stress them. You don't want to bail them out and just pull up from 25 and try to play hero ball. He was trying to get to the basket. And he finally, you know, he drew the foul on Cricky, who was just a freaking demon again. And then he steps up, makes the first, and let's get out of here with the win. It was the box of chocolates game if we've ever seen one. Of just every little thing that we've seen all year. Every good, every bad, every ugly. We saw it all yesterday. But somehow when it came down to the bottom, or came down to the end rather, you know, the final shake of the eight ball said, we're going to get out of here and we're going to get a win. I think on February 27th, if you look back on November 27th and you said Murray State's going to play Valpo and Rob Perry and Jamari Smith, we're going to combine for 10 points. I don't think there's any way you think this team's going to be able to get a win. And I think that has been a sign of growth, that you have seen some other guys sort of evolve as scorers. They haven't needed Rob and Jamari to score to be able to win. You saw Rob, you know, Rob didn't play the last 10 minutes. Checked out with about 5 minutes left, got checked out, didn't get back in. Can only assume that was coach's decision. Didn't look overly thrilled on the bench down the stretch when he wasn't in there. But we will see how that progresses moving forward as we get to St. Louis. Can't say enough about Quincy Anderson. I'm sorry that it has taken almost 25 minutes to get to Quincy Anderson because Quincy has had some ups and downs this year. And he's kind of had these waves of have a couple good weeks, then he'll have a couple weeks where he's sort of disappears. Then he's back. Then he disappears. Well, that's now 4 games in a row. 15 against Illinois State. 15 against Evansville. 10 against Missouri State. 15 against Valpo. He has been fantastic these last 2 weeks. I mean, he's hit the last 4 games. He's hit 10 threes. He is, you know, 9 for 10 from the line. He's grabbed 17 rebounds. I mean, he had 3 turnovers against Evansville, but that's it. didn't turn it over once against Illinois State, Missouri State, or Valpo. That's in almost 80 minutes. He's been great. And if the Racers are going to be able to make a little noise, he's going to have to continue to be great. The opportunity for noise comes on Thursday. Game one. Valpo, again, says just amazing. You know, you look back now at the season for the Racers. As we said kind of all year, there was that almost two groups of teams. You had the top eight and then the bottom four. And, you know, Illinois State, Valpo, UIC, Evansville. Well, the Racers went 7-0 against those teams. They did what they were supposed to do against those teams. Illinois State and Valpo, 4-0. But in those four wins, three of them went to overtime, and the other, Illinois State missed a shot at the buzzer to win, and so the Racers won that one by one. Depending on how yesterday had finished out, they were going to play either Illinois State or Valpo. And it was like, I don't know that either one of these is a better option than the other. The best scenario would have been UIC if Murray State could have gotten to a six. It did not get to a six. They needed three things to happen. They had to beat Valpo, Bradley had to beat Drake, and Indiana State had to beat Missouri State. Well, Racers took care of their business, Bradley took care of their business, and Indiana State capped off a horrific week for them as they lost at home to Missouri State. I believe they were up, and I guess I can find this right here, Wednesday night on the road at Belmont. They were up 17 at the half on the road at Belmont. And then Belmont did Belmont things and came back to win by one. And I think if my math is right, that eliminated Indiana State from a chance at a top four seed. So we knew they were kind of locked into the five. And for whatever reason, whether that was just sort of an emotional blow or, you know, you're on senior day, came out flat, whatever. Indiana or Missouri State jumped them and never trailed the entire game. And so they were able to get the win. And so, I mean, if Indiana State had won, Murray State goes to a six, they would be facing UIC in the opening round, and then would have a quarterfinal matchup against Southern Illinois if they got a win. As we said, kind of felt like that was the preferred path for Murray, only because, you know, they played well against UIC at home, and they had two really close games with SIU if you were looking for that path to the semifinals. Instead, it's now you get round three with Valpo, a team that you have gone to overtime with twice. And if you're able to get this win Friday night in the quarterfinals, you now take on a Drake team that hammered you twice. So the paths, you certainly would have chosen path B. But ultimately, you don't get a choice on your path. So this is what you've got, and this is what got to work through. So the seeding, again, Bradley is one. They win their first conference championship. I believe it was 1996. It was 96 or 97. So they win their first regular season title in almost 30 years. And then it's Drake, SIU, Belmont is the four. Those are your four first round byes. And certainly, you know, credit to Belmont for earning one of those spots in their first year. It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough for the Racers. I'm really curious to see how this works out with Valpo. It's just like, my goodness, this team has they've been two really good games, you know, ultimately. And it's just, you know, as I said a couple weeks ago, you're like, oh, man, do you really want to see Illinois State? It's like, I don't think you want to see them again. You're almost like, oh, let's see Valpo. Now if you play Valpo a second time, you're like, I don't know that they want to see each other. That was the fifth overtime game this year for Valpo. 1-4. Beat James Madison early in the season, lost to Murray, lost at Missouri State, lost at home to Drake in double overtime, and then lost at Murray again. So we will get another crack. Thursday at Arch Madness, 6 p.m., you will see on brackets it says the MVC TV network. That is ESPN3 or ESPN Plus. I think it's ESPN Plus. I know that there's a difference there that's kind of important. I'm almost positive, and we'll get some clarification as the week goes on, that it will be on ESPN Plus if you're not able to get the MVC TV network, which is just that Bally Midwest on linear TV. If you get that, you'll be able to get it. So I will get you updated on that as soon as possible. But all right, probably the longest ride home, a lot to get to, a great day for Kenny and Rod, for this team to clinch, assumes now a winning season in their first year in the Valley. Positives to take from it. And now it starts over, and see if they can do something they haven't done all season long and make a little bit of a run and see what happens. Have not played well on the road. Neutral sites, 2-1. So we'll see if they can keep chasing that neutral site magic a little bit and see how the Racer Nation makes their voices heard on their first trip to St. Louis and Arch Madness. Thanks, as always, for listening to the Murray State Basketball Podcast. If you haven't done so already, you can subscribe over on Apple, Spotify, Google, wherever you get your podcasts. That does it for this morning. We will certainly be back before the game Thursday, hopefully tomorrow. We'll get a preview of the Racers and Valpo round 3 as they both look to earn their spot in the quarterfinals against SIU on Friday night. Thanks for listening. Have a great Monday. We'll talk to you soon.